I'm a firm believer that coming to church without a Bible, I've told you before, is like going hunting without a gun. Going fishing without a pole, it don't work. You need to have the Word of God where you can look at it and let your eyes see it so that your heart can meditate upon what it has to say. This morning, I'm going to preach a message I do not like to preach, but it has been one of the most fruitful messages I've ever preached. And this is the fourth time I've ever preached it. And I want to talk to us this morning about the great salvation that God has given us. And I want you to look at a verse with me here this morning. It's in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, if you turn with me. I know about y'all, but I'm glad that God saved us. And when I look into that Bible that we have this morning, without a doubt, the most important, the overall main thing that you see in the Bible is that our Creator created us in His image so that we could give glory to Him. But we've all sinned and fallen short, have not done what we were created to do. Our primary purpose is to live the life God created us the way He created us to live it so that He gets glory from us. It's not about us, it's about Him. But because of sin, we have all, the ones who were created in His image with the most potential to give Him glory more than any other creature on the face of the planet, has brought Him more hurt and pain because we all reject God. We've all resisted Him. We've all rebelled against Him. And because of that, there's not anybody in this room that doesn't need salvation. And that's why the whole Bible is about God showing us He created us. We sinned against our Creator. Sin separated us eternally from Him who wanted to have eternal fellowship with us. So God, from the beginning, had a plan. The cross wasn't plan B. It always was the plan. When Adam and Eve walked out of the garden, the cross was on the horizon. God already knew what He was going to do. And He had made salvation possible for His creation, mankind. If you look right here in this verse, verse 9, it's a good verse. For God did not appoint us to wrath. I don't know about y'all. That's good news. Amen. But look at what it says. But God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible also says in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. 1 Timothy 2, 3 and 4 says, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. 2 Peter 2, 3, 9 says that God is long-suffering toward us in that He wishes that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's why He loved us so much that He gave His only begotten Son, and whosoever shall believe in Him shall not perish, not a good word, but have everlasting life. The verse after that, many people don't know, verse 17 of John chapter 3 says this, God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that through Him the world might be, here it is again, saved. Over and over and over you hear the word saved, salvation, Savior. Romans 10, 9 says that if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Chapter 10, verse 13 says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Can I get an amen? Amen. Salvation is the only thing and the main reason we're here. If we're not seeing people saved, if we're not reaching the lost, we are a church on the way to death. And salvation is the greatest thing that can happen in this room here this morning, I'm here to tell you. And it's all by God's grace, His marvelous love toward us. Ephesians 2:8 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is a gift of God. I don't know about you, but it's good to know you're saved. Amen. It's good to wake up in the morning and not hope you are, wonder if you are, but to know that because what God did by His grace, your heart has been so radically touched by the power of God that you understand what Paul said when he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God for what? Salvation to everyone who believes. Salvation is what it's all about. That's why we sing about it. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I love that old song. We have heard the joyful sound. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Spread the tidings all around. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Friends, out of all the things Jesus will ever do for you, nothing is compared to when he saves you. If you're undone today, if you're still in your sin, if you're not saved by the grace of God, you may have everything this world can offer, more money than anybody else in this room, a wonderful family, a wife, a husband, children that love you. But if you're not saved, I want to tell you, my friend, you've missed the greatest thing that matters most, and that's to know you've been saved by God's grace. What makes his salvation is so great is what he saves us from. And I'm convinced today we've forgotten what he saved us from. What did God save us from, church? Sin? Amen. Someone's willing to say it. A lot of preachers won't talk about it no more. But I want us to look this morning not at my concept, not at the Baptist concept, but the biblical concept of what God's wrath is. He did not call us, appoint us to wrath, but to be saved through our Lord Jesus Christ. But friends, I want you to think about this. The Bible says, if you'll turn with me to Psalm chapter 9, verse 17, it says this verse that we're going to look at. And then we're going to go to another familiar verse that's in Luke chapter 16, if you want to mark it on the way. But I want you to turn with me to Psalm chapter 9. And I want you to look at this verse with me. The Bible says that the wicked shall be turned into hell. And all, not some, all the nations that forget God. That word nations in some of the new modern translations is translated as Gentiles. And the nations in the Old Testament was referring to the non-Jewish people, which was everybody else. That would be us, unless you're Jewish. My wife said I looked like him and acted like him, but as far as I can tell, I ain't got no blood to claim. I'm a Gentile. I'm of the nations. And the Bible says the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. You know, there's something I want you to think about. And I believe this is true. J.I. Packer says this, one of the great theologians of our generation. He says, modern Western culture, with its exalted optimism about human nature. Have you noticed that the liberals think the humans can fix this? The liberals said, we got the answer. We can fix America. I don't know. America can't be fixed by mankind. What messed it up is man, but the only one can fix it is God. You see, modern Western culture exalts human nature. But the Bible says it's what? Depraved. It's degraded by sin. But modern Western culture, with its exalted optimism about human nature, is shrunken idea of God. And its skepticism as to whether personal morality really matters makes it hard for Christians today to take the reality of hell seriously. If you want to know how hard it is for Christians to take the reality of hell seriously, a man that does these surveys, I went blank again. I know y'all heard of him, Brother Ronnie. Barna, George Barna. Thank you, Brother Ronnie. He did a survey about 4 years ago, and he surveyed evangelical Christians, professing evangelical Christians, which is what we are in the Southern Baptists. And he asked them a question, do you believe in a literal hell? 68% of professing evangelical born-again Christians said they did not believe that place of hell is a literal, real place. Now, guys, that's astounding to me. I don't want to believe it's real. And I wish with all my heart it wasn't real. But the reality that I'm standing up here today to tell you, according to the Bible, that it's real. Friends, I want to talk to us this morning about the biblical concept of hell, not Marvin's concept. Everything I'm going to tell you comes right out of the Bible. And if heaven's real, hell is real. And if there's an eternal forgiveness, those who reject God's plan of salvation, there is an eternal punishment. And I wouldn't love you if I didn't tell you everything. And anybody who doesn't tell you everything doesn't love you. Why salvation is so good, this message doesn't bother me anymore, but I watch it bother people when I preach that it shouldn't. Because hell, my friend, is not a threat to me anymore. Amen? There's a lot of places I might go. I might end up in intensive care. I might end up at a cancer ward. I might end up no telling what might happen to me. One thing ain't going to ever happen to me. Because of Jesus Christ, I'm not going to hell. How about you? Praise the Lord. That's enough right there to make you shout. But there's some in this room, my friend, who doesn't know that for sure. Because only God can give you that peace. Only God can give you that assurance. Man can't convince you. Mom and daddy can't convince you. Church attendance can't convince you. The only one that gives you that peace beyond understanding that I'm saved is the Spirit of God bearing witness to the spirit of a man that you are my child. That you've been adopted. I bought you with my blood, purchased you, marked you, and sealed you with my Holy Spirit. And I live in you. Now you're not like you used to be. You ain't perfect. You ain't like you ought to be. I've done a lot more for you compared to what you're doing for me. But you're saved. Amen. Ain't that good to know? Because I want to hear to tell you this morning, hell is a bad place to go, amen? I'm looking forward to heaven. But boy, I tell you what, I'm thankful I'm no longer worried about hell. First thing I want to talk about is the conditions of hell. The condition of hell, my friend, I don't know about you, but people today crack me up. Air conditioning goes out. Condition. They panic. We can't have church without air conditioning. We can't do nothing without. That's the one thing. Hurricane was hitting our children yesterday. Jody's like me. He's fat and he likes that air conditioning. He said, oh, I hope the power don't go out. We won't have no air conditioning. He wasn't worried about nothing else. But all kidding aside, my friend, hell is an uncomfortable place. I've told people in our church before when they got to complain about it being hot. It can get hotter, friend. But friend, I want you to think about this. In Scripture, hell is thought of as a place of fire and darkness, of weeping and grinding of teeth, a place literally of torment. Now, Brother Marvin didn't make this up. I'm not telling this to scare you because I can't scare you into heaven. I wish I could scare you out of hell. But all I can do is help you to see the truth of what God has shown us hell is. This isn't my opinion. This is from the Bible. Now, I want to listen to these verses. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 18, verse 8, if your hand or your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. That's how bad sin needs to be dealt with. He says, why? He said, because it is better for you to enter into life lame or maimed rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into the everlasting fire. And that's what Jesus called it. And he said it would be better for you to cut your foot off if it keeps leading you in somewhere you don't need to be. Cut your hand if it keeps grabbing hold of something you don't need to grab hold of. In chapter 8, verse 9, he says, if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out, cast it from you. It is better for you to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into the hellfire. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 41, the Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and those who practice lawlessness, that sinfulness, and he will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. In Matthew 25, 30, it says, and he cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. In Revelation chapter 12, 20, verse 14, then death and Hades, hell, were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. I don't know about you, but the condition of hell is a place I don't want to go. And friends, you can say, well, that's not real. That's just to illustrate it's bad. Well, friends, I want you to think about this. It's bad enough, Jesus said, you ought to shun it enough to take your eye and pluck it out, to cut your hand off. But guys, listen, you don't have to do any of that today. Jesus took your sins on his cross for you, took your punishment so that you can be saved and forgiven. Now, you know, our idea today is of the wicked. It says in that verse that the wicked shall all be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. But you see, our understanding of the wicked is that you got to be someone like Ted Bundy. You got to be a serial rapist, or you got to be like that Paddock, whatever nut who shoots 58 people to be wicked. Now, guys, that is extremely wickedness. And that's where sin can even bring you to. But, guys, you don't have to be like that to be considered wicked in the eyes of the Lord. You see, if you look in the Bible tells us in Psalm 10, the wicked in his proud countenance does not seek about God. God is in none of his thoughts. Now, remember what it says. It says that all the nations, the wicked shall be turned in hell, and all the nations, all the Gentiles that forget God. Friends, let me tell you something. There's nothing more wicked than living life your whole time and forgetting that God is a reality, that he created us, that he's the king. But listen what else it says. It says in verse 4, the wicked in his proud countenance does not seek God. God is in none of his thoughts. In chapter 10, verse 13, it says, why do the wicked renounce God? Because he has said in his heart, you will not require an account. You see, the Bible says the wicked in heart lives his life forgetful of God to the point that he doesn't really ever think he's going to have to give an account to God. Let me read you this last verse. This comes right out of Psalm 10. I meant to show it to you before we turned, but I need to show it to you. He says, why do the wicked renounce God? Because he has said in his heart, you will not require an account from me. And guys, this is what people all around us do every day. They live their lives as if God doesn't matter because they have forgotten that he is someone that you got to have a reckoning with. And you will give an account to him. There will be a day where you will have to answer to God. And so I want you to see as we look at this next part, as we get moving along, the cause of hell. People aren't in hell today because their bad outweighs their good. Because the Bible says there are no good. We're all not good. The Bible says there's none good, no, not one. Romans 3 says there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that seeketh after God, no, not one. For all like sheep have gone astray. We've all forgotten about God. We've all not done what God said we should do. None of us has listened to God. But I want you to understand something. Scripture sees hell as self-chosen. Those in hell will realize that they sentenced themselves to it by three things that I want to talk to you a little bit. Resisting God's truth, rebelling against God's authority, and rejecting God's saving grace. God loves you. That's why he got you here today, so you could hear the truth. But you don't have to accept it. You can resist it. I've resisted it. Resisted it for 33 years. I've resisted it even since I've been saved, if I'd be honest, and you have too. You see, every time you resist God's truth to the point you don't do it, you're rebelling against God's authority. But because we all resist, because we all rebel against God's authority, God sent Jesus to die for us and give us grace. And that's why you can only be saved by grace. You can't get good enough. You can't go to church enough. You can't change enough. You can't fix it enough. Because you are a hopeless sinner who has resisted God's truth already up to this point. You have rebelled against his authority. And today you will make a choice if you're not saved. Will you receive his saving grace or will you reject it? It will be your choice when you leave this room. That's why I don't like to preach this sermon. Somebody's eternity could be set today because you don't have a promise of tomorrow. And if God is dealing with you and convicting you, he loves you that much. Now, the condition of hell, we already seen. We already knew that. We believe it deep down. We just don't like to think about it. But I want you to think about this with me right quick as we look at, and I've lost my notes. Devil's got them. Here we go. The cause of hell. God says this in his word, John 3:19 said, and this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. See, light's in here this morning. Truth is being proclaimed. But there's some of us would rather leave where you can continue to practice what you like, where you can continue to live in darkness, where you can continue to do things that you know or is resisting the truth, that's rebelling against God's authority. Because guess what? If you want God's saving grace, he's going to cause repentance to happen in your life. He's going to ask you to change. Turn from the world and turn to him. And listen what that verse says. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light lest his deeds should be exposed. You see, when you come to Christ, you got to admit, I've been doing all this stuff, God. And basically what it boils down to, whether you've been living in sexual immorality to the point that you've totally gotten so far from God that you wouldn't even want us to know what you've been doing, or whatever your sin may be, drunkenness, drugs, whatever you may be doing that has kept you from God. And you live every day not really thinking about God, not really realizing and accepting the fact that you're going to give an account, that he's not blind to the life you're living. He knows your every move. So you're going to resist God's truth. That's what we've all done. You've rebelled against him. But today, don't reject him. He loves you. He wants you to hear the truth that he has replied for you. Listen to what the Bible says in Romans 2, 8, 9. But to those who are self-seeking, that means lives lives for themselves, and do not obey the truth, they resist it, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath for that man. Tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also for the Gentile. That's right from the Word of God. You can't resist the truth and survive. 2 Thessalonians 2 and 9 says, the coming of the lawless one is according to the work of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders. He's talking about the Antichrist that's coming, that's soon. That this world is going to forget God so badly, they're going to resist the truth and rebel against him to the point when the Antichrist steps up, they're not even going to recognize that he's evil. And he's going to step on the scene and they're going to make him a self-made, appointed human Messiah. But he's not going to be who they think they are. And he's not going to do what he promised them he would do. Because the only one that can do that is God. The only one who you can trust and believe that's faithful is Jesus Christ, the giving God. But listen to what he says. And with all unrighteous deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth. There it is again. But had pleasure in unrighteousness. Guys, if you keep choosing the pleasure of unrighteousness over God's truth, your heart will get so hard, your conscience will become so seared that you'll no longer be able to discern right and wrong. That's exactly what's wrong with our American culture. It's exactly what's wrong with society. Today, Americans, on the average, call what God has said wrong, right? And what God has long ago said what is right, they say is wrong. Because they have gotten so far from God because they chose to resist, to rebel, to reject, and God turns us over to get what we choose. You see, hell is self-chosen. No one has to go there. You see, ultimately what hell is the final result of resisting, rebelling, and rejecting God. It's what it is. We live in the Bible Belt, praise Jesus. We are Americans by birth, thank you God, but oh, even more by the grace of God. We Southern gospel, amen? We down here where the church belt's at. We've been hearing about Jesus our entire life. We've been hearing about God's grace and how he saved us. To sit in here knowing what we know, having had the abundance of truth given to us and resisting it to the point to sit here undone, to rebel against the Word of God and know you're not saved this morning. Where we live, with the access we had, that's much more wicked to me than a tribesman down in Africa who's never even seen a Bible, much less heard the gospel. See, we know the truth. We've been given access to it. But there's a lot of people sitting in churches today that are members on a book that ain't born again of the Spirit of God. They've never been truly saved by His grace. And they might have religion. They might be decent people. But unless you've been born again by the Spirit, Jesus said, you can't come into my kingdom. And friends, listen, you can't resist. You can't rebel. You can't reject. There's only one way to be saved. And guys, now I'm going to talk about the last one, and I'm going to share the good news of the gospel. The company of hell. See, hell was never God's intention. He had to make hell because of sin. The devil sinned and rebelled against God, so he had to make hell. The demons were the angels that followed the devil and listened to his lies. And so they were turned into the demons. And so it's apparent that we believe about a third of the angels of heaven fell with Satan. So the demons are cast out from God's presence. But guys, listen. Everybody that walks this earth will listen to the devil, or you'll listen to Jesus. You're going to listen to one or the other, and you're going to accept one or the other's lie, or you're going to believe the truth. You're going to surrender to the authority of Jesus, or you're going to be like the devil, and you're going to live in rebellion your whole life, rejecting him. But if you die in rejection to God, you will be in the company of hell. Now I want you to look at this. The devil and his demons, that's enough. I don't want to go there, amen? But the unbelieving disobedient will accompany another one or other in hell forever. I mentioned Paddock. Wasn't that his name? He might have thought he escaped the police, but he entered to a much bigger punishment than what the Nevada police would have done to him. The moment he pulled the trigger, he woke up, my friend, in a place of torment. in a place where he wishes he is not right now. And friends, when you go there, you're going to be amongst people like him. You're going to be in there with Adolf Hitler, Stalin, Ted Bundy's. All those type people are in hell. People who hate one another is where you'll be. I don't know about you, but there's some people I went to church with I don't want to have to stay with in hell. Amen. The other day, they talked about the hypocrites in the church. Brother Dennis, he had me laughing. It's something to laugh about because there ain't much more you can do about it. It's so sad. But he said he was witnessing his old boy. And he said he liked to sit down there at the bar and drink. And he told him, he said, I ain't going down there to church. It's so full of them hypocrites. He said, yeah, it is full of hypocrites. He said, but them same hypocrites, how you know they got hypocrites there? He said, because they come to the bar and drink with me. He said, well, if you'll drink at the bar with the hypocrites, why won't you go to church with them? But I can tell you what, you might go to church with them, you might go drink on the bar, but you don't want to go to hell with them, do you? Because that's where you're headed if you just say, I'm going to leave God out of my life because they're hypocrites. I'm not letting no hypocrite keep me from God. How about you? I don't care what they do at the church. I might have to beg Diane to whoop me to make me come preach, but I'm coming to church, amen? Because this is where God says to be. This is what you do if you belong to Jesus. And I'm here to tell you, it ain't always about what you like or what you feel. It's about what God has told us is right. And what he has told us is true. And friends, if you keep resisting truth, rebelling, eventually you're going to reject one time too many. Because sooner or day, whatever a man sows, he will reap. And God shall not be mocked. Friends, I want you to think about this. The company of hell, what's on their mind? Well, look, the thoughts of hell is, first of all, they're down there saying, why did I resist the truth? Why didn't I believe that preacher? Why didn't I believe the Bible? Why didn't I believe those people at church that loved me and that kept telling me about Jesus? Why did I resist the truth? It was so foolish to resist the truth. That's all that's going through their mind. And why did I think I could rebel against God? What a fool to think he can rebel against God, because it's futile. You cannot win. Paul kicked against the goads. The Apostle Paul, when he was Saul, going down the Damascus Road, Jesus knocked him to his knees. He said, Saul, Saul. He said, who are you, Lord? He said, it's hard to kick against the goads, isn't it, O Paul? And Paul come to his senses. He said, who are thy Lord? And then he said, what do you want me to do? See, when you know who Jesus is, it's futile to reject him, to rebel against him. Everybody in hell is thinking, why did I resist the truth? Why didn't I believe that Bible? Why didn't I believe that preacher? That day when I was at church and the Spirit of God was convicting me and drawing me, why didn't I come? Why did I resist and rebel? It was so futile. But now in hell, they realize that rejection was fatal. It's fatal. Guys, you can't win against God. How many of you here already would say, I've learned the hard way? Not about salvation, but about sanctification. God has a way of getting your attention, amen? My daddy knew what a belt was for, amen? It wasn't only built to hold up purchase. He'd get your attention. How many of you been to the Holy Ghost woodshed? God will get your attention. Well, friends, listen, once you go to hell, there is no more Holy Ghost woodshed. There's no prayer that you can effectually pray that will give you grace. There's no more mercy. There's no more chance to say, God, I'm sorry for resisting. I wish I wouldn't have rebelled. Forgive me, God. Lord, I'm no longer going to reject. I'm going to receive your grace. Because everybody in hell this morning knows that the result is final. No more second chances in hell. You ever seen that commercial, Roach Trap? Roaches check in, but they don't check out. In hell, sinners check in, but they don't check out. And friends, I'm here to tell you this morning, because I love you, you don't have to go there. The devil's going to lie to you right now. He's going to tell you, wait. You can wait. You don't have to come today. You can still go have some fun, sow your wild oats. You can still drink. You can still smoke. You can still go run around on your wife or run over whatever you want to do that God's told you not to do. Keep resisting truth. You got time to get this right. But today is the day of salvation. And you got to come when God's calling. Friends, listen. The devil's going to tell some of you, you can't come.
you're so bad. You've resisted for so long. You've rebelled to the point. It's beyond. There's not a sin you can commit that will send you to hell except rejecting Jesus' saving grace that he's offering you right now. It's not Brother Marvin's offer. It's the kingdom of God, the Son of God. Because the Father loved you so much, he sent his only begotten Son so that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That's why I can even preach this. If it wasn't for that, I couldn't preach it. But because of it, I have to preach it. And guys, listen today. The result of salvation is as final as hell. You see, when you come to Jesus, Jesus comes to you. He's got his arms wide open saying, come unto me and I'll give you rest. How long does that rest last? Forever. How long's forever? A long time. I'm a redneck. I don't know all the Greek, but forever, forever is forever. Amen. You don't have to learn the Greek to know that one. Eternal life never quits. It's final. When do you get eternal life? When you go to heaven? No, you get eternal life when you truly give your life to Jesus. When his spirit comes into you. And right now, God is ready to give some people eternal life. Amen.